Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The runner goes, the pitch is taken for a strike, throw to second, and he is out at second base. It's a strike him out, throw him out, double play as JT guns down Taylor Walls.
Well, JT really, his defense last night was big time, obviously. Made a big impact on the game, and it's part of why the Phils won. Great to be with you from Borgata this morning, 215-592-9494. Rhea bringing up in the commercial break there about Carlos Ruiz. Perhaps he should have been in there as well when we mentioned him. All right, Rhea, so you're the one person here that saw Bob Boone in ways that, you know, we didn't.
I was young. When you're that age, you're not kind of looking at the intro.
That's
to
fair.
Me, it was more Dutch.
Yep.
I knew more about Dutch.
You've seen Dutch, Leiby, Ruiz, and JT. How would you rank those four? So post-Bob Boone.
Okay, post-Bob Boone. JT's been
the whole time.
It's so consistent, but I think we forget about it. I mean, how many no-hitters with the perfect four?
Four no-hitters for
Ruiz?
Carlos Ruiz's career.
I mean,
but to be fair, it helps to have Roy Halladay throwing you the ball.
It does. It does. But he had one with Cole Hamels, and I'll go JT, Dutch, Carlos.
JT, Dutch, Carlos. I agree with that.
Yeah, that's where. But I think Carlos deserves to be, deserves to be. I think we forget about how consistent he was behind the plate. In terms of just calling a great game.
Talking about Dutch or
no, I'm talking about Chooch.
One thing about Carlos Ruiz that was massive. Let's take 08 Phils. Brad Lidge was throwing that slider that would go in the dirt.
Yeah,
and people would swing and miss, but unless Carlos Ruiz stopped it, it was
exactly
going to be a wild pitch.
Yeah.
That was a big part.
I mean, he was just real. I think he's criminally underrated. I think I would say this. We just
I should have said his name last
night. No, but I'm at fault too. When I was thinking about it, I went, "Oh my God, we didn't mention Chooch. Yeah. We should mention him."
Yeah. I think speaking of criminally underrated, I mean the guy who's at the top of your list, Joe, JT, Real Muto. I mean, this really is groundbreaking to me that you're being so over the top positive
JT.
About JT, because often that I hear something.
Well, it's just
because
of his hitting's decline.
It's hitting.
I feel
old.
More often than anything, we hear everyone complaining about JT for being old and
hitting.
Declining.
Yeah.
I'm just pointing out. This is what happens at the end of a contract.
JT's awesome. JT is incredible, and I agree with you. I think, and I wasn't watching baseball and paying close attention. I've never seen anything like his consistency and toughness.
Yeah.
He comes through when it matters. He doesn't always come through offensively.
Sure.
But he does come through when it matters at times.
He's a trustworthy player. You don't feel like you're going to get a bad at bat.
Yes.
Like, he might make an out, but he's not going to look foolish up there. He's not going to flail.
Yeah, he's going to know it's a strike or a ball.
Yeah.
He's going to have a plan.
I agree with that.
Yeah, he's the grown-up, even with the daycare, even with the daycare in sort of like limbo land where they're not sure whether they're adults or kids or what they're supposed to be right now. I think JT gets a bad rap for being old because he plays a position where guys get old.
They do there earlier. It's like running back earlier than other spots. Yeah. All right, 215-592-9494. Also, Andrew Painter last night with a performance as Andrew Painter returns. Long time, obviously, all the
with
injuries he's had.
Performance,
well,
you said.
This is, let's listen, a little taste of Andrew Painter in the minors last night.
It'll be a really good matchup and a really good test for Andrew Painter coming off of Tommy John surgery. Pitch, swing and a miss. He struck him out. 2-2, Sable swings and misses. Got him with a curveball down the dirt. 1-2. Thompson takes a knee-buckling curveball at the knees. He's down looking, and it's three strikeouts already for Andrew Painter. 1-2 pitch, Nathan Hickey. Curveball called strike three, and Andrew Painter back-to-back. 1-2 coming. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. Curveball again down the dirt. Rozier can't lay off.
So here's the deal.
Five from the ball game.
Yeah, here's the final line for Andrew, because you know he's not going to pitch long. He's coming back from Tommy John surgery and being out forever. Three innings last night, one hit. No runs.
It was fun to watch.
One hit, three innings, five strikeouts. That's a great job. What a great job by Andrew Painter.
I wanted to see him. I actually had him on my laptop, and I had the Phillies on the radio.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to watch him. He's so big. 6'7".
He's very tall.
I mean, it's like, oh, my God. But, you know, it was that curveball is filthy.
Devin, have you had any access to him yet as Phillies reporter, like in spring training? Or,
yeah.
What's his personality? What are we looking at?
I mean, he's so young. He's 22. I think he just turned 22. So he's a pretty quiet kid. But I went up to him in the Phillies clubhouse when I was down in Clearwater and chatted with him a little bit about, you know, his progress, his ramp up period. And he told me he's essentially, you know, 6 weeks behind everyone else. And it seems like he's stuck to that schedule. But he's just a really quiet, you know, humble kid. He said, you know, he's learning a lot from Aaron Nola, from Cole Hamels, who's down there in Clearwater as well. I'm really excited for him.
Yeah.
Me too.
Big deal.
The 60 pitches, it seems so light, you know, so many outings in a row. When are they going to ramp that up even farther?
The next one.
Yeah.
Well, it's been 60,
what are you new to baseball? Normally it goes 60, and then we'll get to 67, and then we'll get to a 76.
Well, it's been 60 the last couple.
I'm just saying.
I want to see more.
No, I think it started at, like, two innings. Like, he didn't even get much done. I don't know how
they're going to be very careful.
They are.
He did get out of a bind last night. He loaded the bases and still didn't allow any.
All right, let's get some calls in here.
He is so big, to Rhea's point, that the hat on top of his head doesn't look like it's the right size.
I know. You're right.
You know, it's almost like a cherry on top of a sundae and askew, because the sundae's like starting to melt, because he really is so big, no hat is going to fit properly.
All right, let's get to let's go to Johnny in Springfield. What's up, Johnny?
Yo, what's up, guys?
Hey, bud.
First time in a long time. But yeah, I'd definitely like to talk about the Phils, man. I think anybody in the city that says that they're not excited still about this team, because we're going on this run for about like
three weeks, four or five.
Yeah. It's like, we know we got the core of players. We know they're getting older, but you know we're contenders. The only thing is, guys, it's like we got like 125 games left. And we're in a tough division. You see the Braves are creeping up. You know, the Mets are stacked. And, you know, we're going to have to fight for every inch of it.
Well, so, Johnny, I like that point as it relates to this season. Part of what I find fun about this season is this is not a gimme for the Phillies to make the playoffs. There are three, I think, good teams in the NL East. The Braves are still coming up, you know, like meaning they're continuing to progress. The NL West obviously has three or four good teams. So I think it'll be... Like, let me put it this way. As great as the Eagles were last year, and they were great in the regular season with a superlative record the whole way, part of what made the regular season intriguing, every week you were hoping they'd pass the Lions. They never did.
No.
But every week there was intrigue to try to claim home field advantage. And that was, for lack of a better way to put it, fun. I think this baseball season's going to have a lot of that, because they're going to have to work to make the playoffs. And I appreciate that.
Yeah, and you hit it right on the head, Joe. And that's how I am. I'm going to use one word, and I'm not trying to sound cheesy, but hope. I have hope for this team. I know, listen, we're starting to play small ball. It's not like everybody's trying to slap a homer every time they come up. That's how you win games. You steal bases. You make plays. You got to be clutch in certain situations. But, yes, is it possible for nine players to get hot all at once? Yes, it's been done. If that happens, I have all the confidence in the world. if something like that could come together.
Well, yeah, if nine guys get hot at the same time, they'll probably win.
Yeah. I mean,
the problem is maintaining that for a month in October, because nine guys have gotten hot for a couple weeks twice, and then they didn't, and then they lost. Johnny, give me an answer. I got hope also. Give me a great fictional mom.
All right, listen, so I'm going to go off script a little bit here. I'm a Delco boy, grew up in East Lansdowne with
Don't tell me it's the woman on the car, because she wasn't fictional.
I have to give a shout out to Mrs. Haley, my mom. It was like a sitcom growing up, and I'll give you a fictional. I'll go with Deborah Barone for putting up with Marie. It's unbearable, and that woman is a saint.
You got it, buddy. Johnny, appreciate it. Which one is that, Ray?
From Everybody Loves Raymond.
Oh, gotcha.
You know the father in that? Was it Peter Boyle?
Yeah, Peter Boyle.
He went to West Catholic.
Really?
Yeah.
I never got into that show.
I loved it. It was fun.
Like Home Improvement. Just never really did it for me.
I've never seen 1 second of it.
Yeah. Oh, well,
big show.
I
have seen Home Improvement.
Yeah, big show.
Pitch hit the other way. It's flagged down by Caballero, but he's got only one play. It's over at first base. Kepler puts the ball in play, and the Phillies get the game tied up.
Well, considering they've been down 5-1, that was a pretty damn big comeback. And obviously Max Kepler there in the ninth inning with the sack fly to tie it up. Phillies ultimately take the lead in the 10th with a series of – well, the lead was courtesy of the Brandon Marsh hit, and then Trey Turner tacks one on. Phillies win last night. It was a really good win, a comeback, stirring victory by the Phillies, closing out that series at the Yankees ballpark against the Rays. Good morning to you from Borgata today. Let's get to the Twitter poll question of the day, brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Let your journey begin in the completely redesigned 2025 Equinox from Armin Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. Poll question, which team's going to win the division this year, the NL East? Phils are now, I believe it's a game and a half back of the Mets.
Yep.
Phils, Braves, or Mets? Who wins the division? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. All right, 'tis the season this weekend, next weekend, graduation season for many, would it be millions or thousands? Hundreds of thousands, or probably millions throughout the country?
Probably.
Millions.
Probably,
Joe.
Millions.
Millions.
Yeah, so we've got 330 million Americans, so I'd imagine there's a million or more graduating in the next couple weeks. All right, so I got some of the commencement speakers. John, do you remember your commencement speaker?
It was Tom Brokaw.
Oh, that's great. See, Fairfield doesn't get Tom Brokaw. And we're closer to New York City, where Brokaw was, Rhea, do you remember your commencement speaker?
No idea.
Devin?
Maybe it was
no.
Peter Jennings.
Okay. So close. Okay. Like, did you go to journalism school? What are
we
doing
here? It was one of those two.
My grad school speaker was, I don't remember her name, but she was a anchor for like NBC or something.
Obviously very,
very memorable. Yeah,
fair enough.
Clearly.
Well, Fairfield never gets anyone good, but that's, you know. It
so
is
who, do you remember who yours was, though?
No. We've never, to the best of my knowledge, never have anybody famous. I mean, it's famous in some genre, but not famous for, like, you know, us. All right, here's some of the notables this year. Colorado Christian University. This is today. JB, James Brown, host of the NFL Today.
Nice.
Not bad.
What's the connection
wrong
there?
It was Ted Koppel, Joe.
Oh, my God.
That's
what?
Good, John.
Oh, man.
You just named every top anchor in, like, the 90s.
That's really good.
My bad. I really thought it was Brokaw or Jennings.
That's pretty good. All right,
Koppel.
Duke's got a former Duke basketball player. Who do they got?
Billy King.
No. Although that would have been pretty cool.
Christian Leighton.
No.
J.J. Redick?
How about Grant Hill?
Oh,
that's a great
good
choice.
That's a great choice by Duke. All right, Emerson College goes with that Jennifer Coolidge.
Oh,
she's
my God.
So funny.
Is she going to talk in her voice the whole time?
Is that her voice?
I think that's
not a real
voice.
No, it's not.
It's not?
Not a real voice. I've heard her interviewed. It's not her real voice.
Wow.
She does that for effect. Emory University goes with Usher. That's coming up on May 12th for Usher. Fairfield at Timothy Shriver, if anyone knows who he is. Now, he's part of the Special Olympics. I'm sure he's very accomplished, but we never get to truly. Like, Georgetown's got the fonts. I mean, you kidding me? Henry Winkler at Georgetown?
That's pretty cool.
I want the fonts sometime. Cool. Harvard, they got, I've never heard of this person, but Abraham Verghese, who's a Stanford biologist, professor, physicist, and novel. And I'm guessing that person's very, very smart. So anyway, we'll give you a couple of these as we move through the show.
You're missing Merrill Reese at Temple University.
Really?
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Really? Mm-hmm. Good for Merrill.
Yeah.
Good for Temple.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Cool.
That is cool. All right, well, we'll get back to a couple of these as we move through the show. Obviously, congrats to all of the grads-to-be over the next couple of weeks. Also, congrats to Nova. I mean, holy mackerel.
Wow.
A Pope! You got Pope!
It's pretty cool.
That is, I wasn't there last night. I heard the bells were ringing for hours. Isn't that cool? I mean, the Pope went to Villanova.
He seems like a super cool Pope.
1977. You know, there's all sorts of pictures going around of him with V for Victory and photographs. I got a buddy of mine text me last night a picture of his brother-in-law with the Pope. It's hanging out. Yeah. You know, he grew up in the Raleigh-Massimino years.
So yeah, there's a picture going around of him at because he's a Chicago fan at the Cubs-Astros World Series in 2005.
He's a White Sox fan, though. That's what they said.
Well, he was at the...
Oh, that's
well,
I don't know.
It was the Astros World Series, whatever Chicago team, one of them.
That would
Point
be...
Point is,
that
he likes sports, okay?
Yeah,
that would be the White Sox.
You know our friend, Marshall Harris, who works in Chicago sports radio now?
Yeah.
They were on the air when it came through.
Yeah.
They lost their... They posted it.
Sure.
Lost their minds. It was the funniest thing ever.
Well, think about if you knew him.
Yeah.
Like, crazy. So I heard that his brothers, I think it was his brothers, I'm getting a little confused, but somebody who knew him really, 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 really well didn't know until he emerged at the balcony, like the Pope.
It's like, wow, great, that's my brother.
Isn't that amazing? All right, so congrats to Nova. I mean, to have a Pope is
pretty cool.
It's really something.
Yeah. Between that and the Knicks, I mean.
Well, that's the problem. The Knicks now may have a better chance. And
because you think they're blessed?
What's going to be interesting is do many people root for the Knicks when they face a non-Celtics team? Like, I'd rather see the Knicks win than the Celtics. Would I rather see the Knicks win than Jokic?
I'm really torn on this
That's
Knicks
a tough
series, though.
I think so, too.
I respect that they're Villanova.
Yeah.
I love the way they play.
Yeah.
And they
but
play
the
as
Knicks.
A unit. It feels,
but they're the,
I get
but
it.
They're Villanova.
But they're
they
the
were
Knicks.
Villanova first.
But they're Villanova.
They chose Villanova. They didn't choose to be at the Knicks.
Yeah, they did.
Well, Brunson did.
Brunson
I was a free
did.
Agent.
Yeah.
Look,
okay,
Brunson's
the free agent.
I respect him a lot. I don't know. All right, so look, you can weigh in on the whole thing. At the Phils last night, Villanova having a Pope. I would have loved to hear the bells ringing last night for hours. That's cool. Let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494.
He's keeping it more traditional, apparently, than the previous popes with the red attire.
Okay.
Like, there was something special about that first appearance in the all red that took it back to the days of yore. Like, that was the, I don't know.
Well, apparently it's an homage. The Leo thing's an homage to the Pope from, like, 120 years ago or something
like
that. Yeah. I like Leo.
I love that.
Leo's a good name. Yep. Oh, one other thing real quick before the phones. Let's get to something Daryl Morey said yesterday, because obviously he commented on a lot in the podcast with Spike. And one of the things that Morey talked about was how Joel felt about the medical approach the team took with him over the last now two seasons. You know, coming back to face the Knicks, everything that happened this past year, which was a disaster. Here's Morey yesterday more on with Joel.
Do you think he agreed that it was the right thing that you did?
I think there were, you know, to be fair, that's a good question. You ask good questions. I do think there was a period, and, you know, some of it was real, some of it out of frustration by all of us, where when it wasn't progressing like all of us hoped, mostly him, that, you know, he was maybe like, okay, maybe we should have taken a different path earlier. I think that's fair. And I think he was pretty, you know, he was very Joel open, I would call it. You guys know Joel. And yeah, I think he was probably right. With the benefit of hindsight, maybe you do some different things early in the year. But we also felt like we were in a good path from the doctors, and they thought it was the right path.
So that's significant. Because what you're hearing from Morey is that Joel wanted to do something other than what the Sixers doctors wanted to do. They went with the Sixers doctors approach, and it totally didn't work. That's my interpretation of that.
That's kind of what was the undertone throughout the year. Is that,
probably why Spike asked the question.
Yeah, is that there have always been some butting of heads between what he want, you know, what he wants and what they wanted. You know, and you listen, it's your body, so you kind of have to know what you –
But it's a double-edged sword, because often doctors will know more Like Carson screwed up coming back as fast as he did. Yeah. He just flat out did.
That was an ego thing with him.
I agree.
I think with Joel, the problem is he wants to find the doctor that's going to tell him it's a magic cure-all.
Well, he may know at this point it may not be. Because part of what Maury's talking about, I think, is, you know, some of it's a year ago. And now, like, you know, reality might be setting in even for Joel.
Reality is set in for all of us except maybe the Sixers and Joel.
I agree. Well, look, we'll play more of the Daryl Morey audio. I mean, it was very notable, some of the stuff he said yesterday. 215-592-9494. Also, we're near last call. I mean, we got 2.5 hours till the end of our show. I told you yesterday, I'll say it again, last chance. Anyone that gets Rory McIlroy on our show this week, you get $100. So we got till 10 o'clock. He's in town. I don't know what time he tees off today. But obviously pretty cool to have the PGA and tour in town. Someone get us McIlroy on the show. I want to talk to the Masters winner. Let's go to the phones.
You're the one.
Yeah, you're the one. Go to Anthony in New Jersey. Anthony, what's happening, pal?
Hey, good morning, guys. How you guys doing?
Doing great, Anthony.
Hey, John, man, I was thinking about fullbacks, man. It's a notable fullback that played for the Eagles, man. He played for us. Who is he?
Yeah, it's been four or five of them.
Kevin Turner, Leonard Weaver. Awesome.
Loved him.
Until his knee injury.
Keith Byers, different type.
Keith Byers was amazing. He was my favorite player
for a long time. Are you kidding me? Don't give me the Owen Schmidt nonsense.
Owen
Schmidt. What are you doing to me, Anthony? Is that the guy that replaced John? John, is that the guy that came in when you got injured?
I don't think so.
Who was the guy that replaced you in 04?
No, that's the guy that played
Josh
for West
Perry.
Virginia,
oh,
man.
Josh
he's
Perry, yeah.
He's the break foot face masters, man.
Yeah, Owen Schmidt was a few years after that, after the Josh Perry thing. Yeah. I kind of preferred the Richies and the Byers and the Kevin Turners to the Owen.
Keith Byers was the very first jersey I ever bought.
I love Keith Byers.
And then I went to San Francisco that summer and got the USA Today slipped under my door to find out that he had signed with the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah.
It was very sad.
Yeah. The whole exodus. Yes. I mean, he left. Keith Jackson left. Eric Allen. Of course, Norman Brayman, you know, messed the whole thing up. Anthony, what do you got on our fighting Phils, man?
Hey, the Phils, man, they turning it around, man. I think, just like the other person said earlier, man, it's just like how the Eagles was when we were 2-2. I think something is finally clicking, man. The starting rotation looked pretty good.
More than pretty good, man.
Hell yeah.
Because you know what, Lizardo, here's the thing, Anthony. We might go the next 2.5 hours without Lizardo's name being said today, but he deserves it to be said more. He pitched well enough to keep the Phillies in it.
Yep.
Like, he didn't get a win. Yeah. He left when they didn't have the lead, but he only gave up 2 runs. Like, he essentially did his job yesterday, and it was the bats that finally came around. So, you know, he deserves more credit than he's probably going to get today, is my point. Bottom line, same thing I said yesterday. They're going to put a good starting pitcher out there every night. Doesn't mean the guy's going to pitch every night, but they're going to put a quality starting pitcher out every freaking single night. What an advantage.
Yeah. Right, so with a good quality starting pitcher every night, man, that'd improve our chances on winning every night. I would hope.
Well, that's the point. Anthony, give me a great fictional mom. You can win the Metallica tickets.
I was going to say Mother Teresa, but she's not fictional. I'm going with Claire Huxtable.
Oh, yeah, not fictional. That's right. Claire Huxtable, you got it, my man.
That's a good answer.
Claire Huxtable is a great answer, no question about it. It was weird when they were back in a show together, though. If you remember, you know, 5-10 years after Cosby went off, they had another show together. That was kind of odd. But Claire Huxtable's an all-timer, no question. All right, Chris Long, let's get to some Chris Long stuff. So this was from a couple days ago in the lead-up to Brandon Graham Day. You know, obviously all sorts of guests were on either in the lead-up to it or on BG Day early this week. And Chris Long was one of the many former Eagles, prominent Eagles, featured on WIP to honor BG, and he certainly did. But also in the midst of the conversation with Spike, Ike, and Jack, they touched on the Chris Long thing. Now, I'm going to tell you, I think he was extremely humble in his answer about his connection to Philly, because he wasn't going to say what I think the slew of reasons why he was so beloved here are. But listen to the guys the other day with Chris Long.
Chris, you only played here a couple years, but you do feel like, when I think now I'm in Philadelphia, but I think about Chris Long, I was like, that guy's an Eagle. Like, definitely an Eagle. Like, what do you think it is about you and about the town that, like, sort of connected in a way that you're remembered here and you identify with the place as if you were here longer than you were?
Well, a couple things. I mean, it's hard to fake loving a place the way I just love Philly, like, from the minute we pulled up. It's also right place, right time, too, you know. There's a number of us on that team that are going to be remembered a great deal for our contribution to the Eagles, and they might have been small contributions or they might have been quick stops. You know, there's a lot of legendary Eagles that I look back on and think are way more Eagles than I am. But, you know, I was just lucky enough to be there for a couple of years when things were going well. And we just had a special team, man.
Sir did have a special team. He was certainly a big part of it. So here's the deal. Good answer. Nothing wrong with it at all. I'm not ripping him in any way. Love Chris Long. But he didn't really say what I believe to know to be. I have seven reasons why he became seven.
Wow.
All right. Give me the reasons. Seven reasons why Chris Long is beloved here in Philly. What are they?
He gave his salary. Yeah.
Number one.
Yes.
Number one. Now, he can't say, they love me because I donated my salary. But, like, let's be real. That's where it started. Like, are you freaking kidding me? A guy's going to play a season and donate? Yes. So, number one, donated his salary. All right, give me the other six.
I helped win a Super Bowl.
I got that. Won the Super Bowl. That's two. I actually have that. I have these kind of chronologically. I have that as the last one.
Rocked the fur coat at the Super Bowl parade.
So, you know what? I thought of it, didn't write it down. Here's what I'll put that under the category
of. Sixers jersey.
I got that as number four.
Was it bold?
Cool dude.
Yes.
Yeah.
Cool dude. And also good-looking guys. Women loved him. Guys wanted to have a beer with him. Cool dude, good-looking guy. That's three.
Howie Long's his dad?
No, but that is
Villanova?
No,
the Pope?
The Pope, yeah, that's right. All right, I got four more reasons.
Oh, okay, I know.
What?
Was he one of the dog masks?
Yes.
There we go.
Him and Lane Johnson had the dog mask. I got three more reasons.
He had a big sack.
He had a massive play that was almost a sack. He caused the Patrick Robinson interception.
Yep.
So it was he that deflected the arm of that Case Keenum, causing the Patrick Robinson interception. Reason number two, and this was established pretty early in the year, he just played well, had a good year. I mean, it was a very consistent quality player. And the final reason, and he's the most recent in Eagles history, he won the Walter Payton Man of the Year.
Right.
So, like, he can't say all that when he's asked a question, like, why do they love you? He can't say it because I donated my salary. But let's be real.
He's like a cool dude.
Cool guy, man. Hey, by the way, Chris Long, more of that interview. He continued on talking more with Spike, Ike, and Jack.
I think back, you know, I was just looking at the team last year, winning the whole thing, and, you know, people ask us who's the better team. And to me, it's not even a conversation. Like, that team was so talented this year. It made a lot of sense that they went out and won the Super Bowl. And you know, you think back to our team and, you know, I don't know if I would have been able to call that. It was just such a magical ride and it all came together and it was about the people, man. And I think also I was just so lucky. It's one of the biggest privileges of my life to be able to share that experience with people who have been waiting a lot longer than I had. You know, I had been waiting to be on a winning team before I went to New England the year prior for, you know, 8-9 years of my career, and now I'm getting a chance to win, and it felt like an eternity. But for Eagles fans to wait that long to win a Super Bowl, right, haven't seen all those amazing players, guys that were way better than us and way more Eagles than we were just lucky to be there, right place, right time, and I love the city. And for me, you know, 8 years in St. Louis, we don't have a team there anymore. So naturally, I think I needed a home base, and it's not like I tried to make it my home base. It just kind of became the home base for me and my family.
Cool answer from Chris Long. Just a cool dude, man. Just a cool dude.
He's fun. He and Bo Allen together are funny.
Yeah.
I mean, it's because Bo Allen is the complete opposite of Chris, and they're hysterical together.
Yeah, they are.
Well, and they both would – they were at several of the Eagles playoff games down the stretch. Pre-game, they were there when Nick Foles was honored. And Chris Long, I know he lives in Charlottesville, but he still hosts charity events in Philadelphia and talks about how much he loves Philly. He hosts an event that I host with Connor Barwin every year, so he still really gives back to the Philly community.
It's awesome. Yeah, and that's all part of what got him the Walter Payton Man of the Year. I mean, just a tremendous credit to Philly sports and obviously the NFL. Let's go to the phones, 215-592-9494. So the Phils get the win last night, quality win, comeback, kind of a stirring comeback. You're down 5-1, you come back, ultimately win that game. It's the eighth out of 11 games. that the Phillies have scored seven or more runs. That is notable.
Five in a row for the first time in 91 years.
Wow.
Bob Vetrone posted
that
earlier
today.
Well,
he's always got
those
stats.
That was an amazing stat.
So say it again.
Seven runs or more, five games in a row, first time in 91 years.
Wow.
Or fifth time. Fifth time. It's still amazing.
Yeah,
it's still amazing.
And look, they're getting really good starting pitching. They really, really are. And they're playing with some heart. I love it. Let's go to the phones. Talk to Neil in Northeast Philadelphia. Neil, good morning.
Joe, I wanted to tell a brief story about Duck. You know, I saw Duck, you know, like one time, and I said, congratulations for winning the World Series with the Marlins.
Yep.
And he said, the only thing better, Neil, would have been winning in red pinstripes with the Phillies after all the surgeries he'd been, you know, with the 10 years.
Incredible.
With the Phillies,
I think it was 13 surgeries on the knees. It was something like that.
Wow.
It was real. I mean, he would have been so much better if those knees. Cause, and then, you know, and then the, you know, he got rocked sometimes behind. I mean, the Ray Lankford thing was an all-timer. And Dutch was.
13.
Chris Long a stud. Dutch was a stud also. I mean, he was just awesome. But I will tell you, Neil, because Dutch was not a particularly good player for half his career, I think JT might be the Phillies' best catcher ever. I mean,
another, you know, like Rhea, you know, you go back to when Bob Boone, you know, like.
I was a little too young for that.
Like that. And even Tim McCarver playing four decades and then later his broadcast.
Yeah, McCarver a better announcer
than
player.
Lefty's catcher, you know, so.
But McCarver did have that designated lefty catcher thing, which was kind of cool.
Yeah.
He was like the lefty translator to the world.
Home run and he went past it like that and they canceled the home run.
Yeah, that's always funny. One. You don't see that much, but when someone gets passed on a home run, that's a classic.
Yeah.
Neil, what do you got on the Joel Embiid situation?
I think, unfortunately, I don't think arthroscopic will work, and I think he'll be a medical buyout in February, but I'm pessimistic.
Well, I'll be shocked if that happens because I don't think he's going to agree to it. So I think that's not going to happen.
If you agree to it, can you never play again?
That's a great question. I don't
know. Or the
and
life of the contract.
What does that number look like? A medical buyout for Joel?
I don't know that either. And look, none of us care about Josh Harris's cash.
He's good,
What we care about is the cap ramification. Neil, give me a great answer for a fictional mom.
Well, Josh Harris is good with the Commanders. A fictional mom, Marion Cunningham in a Happy Day.
Absolutely.
Oh, good one.
Mrs. C, another classic. Let's go to Seth right now in media as we broadcast this Friday morning from Borgata. Good morning, Seth.
Good morning, everybody. Hey, John, I actually graduated with you. Our commencement speaker was Walter Cronkite.
Whoa! Oh, it's a joke. I got you. That took me a sec.
Yeah.
Yeah,
maybe.
I figured. I was waiting for it to marinate. all right. So it's funny you guys bring up the catcher situation and talking about, you know, who the best catcher was. It's funny because it got me thinking how pivotal that position really is in baseball altogether. It's one of those few positions in sports where you can make other people around you better. They can make a good pitcher look great. They can make a great pitcher look elite. They can elevate the play of the infielders. Yeah, I mean, they
totally
do all
correct.
Of those things,
yep.
All while, you know, like being at the helm of it all. It's just it's an unbelievable thing, and I think we pay so much attention to things like pitching and the bats and stuff like that. But just that one position, like kind of a commander in chief of the team, you know.
I'm with you, man. I agree with that completely.
And the,
which JT obviously is, man. He is superb back there.
He's so cool. He's so cool back there. And he's got a gun too, man. Watch him throw that guy out the other day. Holy cow. So the Phils, I'm excited for the way they're starting to kind of turn it around and playing the small ball is a big part of that. But I still have, you know, a little bit of concern on the back end of the bullpen. You seeing Taiwan in there the other day definitely adds a little bit of comfort to that. But it's just, again, you and I have talked about this before. You know, I just feel like it's been a while since they've been able to since we've been comfortable with the bullpen like that, where you can turn a game over and go, you know what, we got this. You know,
well, they haven't this year. Last year they had it with Strom and Hoffman and Alvarado until he wasn't, and then Kirkring for sure.
Romano has settled down.
I mean. He's pitched better.
He definitely lowered it like five runs, but I did. I thought Rob Thompson managed well, save for putting Tanner Banks in. I didn't understand that. That was my one quibble with him. Other than that, I thought he managed pretty well. But
well, remind me, what was the score? They were
it was
down
a one run.
It was
one run.
3-2.
Yeah,
and that's what became 5-2.
I think I'm pretty sure
yeah,
it was.
I think
yeah,
that, I
but
think
it was
that's
one
right.
run. I just not, that, not, like not, I said, it
three,
was a quibble.
Three.
Yeah,
yeah,
it was a quibble.
Yeah, yeah,
I had.
Yeah.
That's all.
Or maybe it was 2-1 at that
Is
point.
Is it sustainable
yeah.
now?
Well,
Is it
look,
now
they don't have a great bullpen yet, but it'll get better. You know, it will get better, Seth. Is it sustainable? I guess time will tell. I mean, I think they will pitch better out of the bullpen more than worse the rest of the year. But don't kid yourself. They will lose some games because of the bullpen this year. They don't have the same bullpen. Look,
well,
Hoffman was outstanding last year. I mean, he was tremendous. They don't have that right now. Seth, give me an answer, my man, for a great fictional mom.
Oh, all right. Well, you gotta measure it by a couple different things, right? Toughness, the influence on the kids, the ability to keep a chaotic household in order. I mean, there's only one person I can think of that checks all those boxes. That's Marge Simpson.
Marge Simpson. Wow. How about it? So happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there, Rhea, and all the moms. I hope everyone take care of the moms this weekend for sure. By the way, no beat the hammer today.
Very sad.
Very sad. And I'm going to say I don't think we should allow it anymore. Here's new show rule. When Seltzer leaves, we still have beat the hammer. I mean, Seltzer's off today, which is why we have no beat the hammer. But it doesn't mean we shouldn't have beat the hammer.
I mean, we are having beat the hammer, technically.
Pop culture. Yes.
Beat the hammer.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
So that's sanctioned.
Yeah.
Unsanctioned.
Sure.
Unsanctioned.
Wait, what do you mean unsanctioned?
I always say it doesn't count against my record because, you know, I always lose.
Oh, it counts if you win?
Devin, I don't even know your pop culture beat the hammer record, though.
Well, like, during the pandemic, I was 3-13. And then
we don't count that.
No, and then with you as the host, it's, I don't know. I've won some and lost some.
Yeah, but I think heavier on the loss.
You're going to have 6 Taylor Swift questions today?
No. I haven't had a Taylor Swift question in Pop Culture Beat the Hammer in so long, okay?
We got to rip Seltzer for taking a couple days off and just leave us.
At a wedding.
I don't give a damn.
All right, you were off last Friday.
You should have prepared the questions. You could have given the questions to Dan Wilson and still been the maestro.
A wedding really is a gift of new life and joy that you can't just turn down that opportunity
to
attend.
His friend's kind of screwing him. James has to go out to California for this freaking
wedding. James is thrilled. He's going to San Fran.
I don't care. It's going to cost him a couple thousand dollars.
He's going to go. I hope he goes to the House of Prime Rib because I told him that is the best place to eat in, man. The greatest salad he can have.
Good deal.
Well, better than Columbia salad?
Columbia salad is great, but it's not ever-worldly. It's
saying
very
this
good,
is
though.
The best salad in the world.
Oh, wow.
The
I love a good salad.
Salad.
I love a good salad.
I had a good salad here at Borgata last night.
What'd you have?
I don't know how to describe it. It was called the steakhouse salad. It was,
steak salad is amazing.
It was great.
Though. If you've only eaten 6 to 10 things in your
settle
life,
down.
How can you
steakhouse
effectively
salad,
judge
Borgata.
New foods?
Be here, be square.
Would you have it at the steakhouse?
I had it at the, I forget the name of the
Long
place,
bar
but down on the
steakhouse?
Left.
Steakhouse?
Good spot.
Homestead?
Right. Might have been that. Yeah. Yeah, I think it was that. Yeah.
named every restaurant.
I'm trying to go through all the restaurants.
That one, yeah.
All right, so let's get to some of the memorable or notable moments from the Phils game last night. If you're waking up and didn't see the game last night, know that it was a great comeback. And it wasn't like Lizardo pitched bad. He only gave up 2 runs. But then the bullpen, of course, got shaky, as mentioned by our last caller. Phils were in a 5-1 hole in the 8th inning. That's the kind of game, you know, let's be real, typically you're not going to win. But it was Bryson Stott with the first real big shot that pulled the Phillies back into it.
Swung on, hit deep, right field. That one is long gone as Bryson Stott has cleared the stadium. He has hit one out of Steinbrenner Field. A mammoth 3-run home run to right field, and it's a 1-run game.
All right, now just for context purposes, you know, spring training complex, that's why you can hit it out. Okay, this wasn't Mickey Mantle, you know. This wasn't like Reggie Jackson almost hitting out at Detroit, you know, going 500 and something all those years ago. But it was a shot by Bryson Stott, and it was big. At that point, of course, Phil's still down. So eighth inning ends, Phil's still down, but, you know, they hold the fort down in the bottom of the eighth. You go into the ninth, you're down a run. So Schwarber gets on, pinch run, Schwarber out, Rojas in, and that made a big move by Rob Thompson. That made a huge difference. Let's get to a big moment when Rojas went first to third.
He'll throw to first again. He throws it away. Rojas gets up. He's headed for second. Now he's thinking about third. The ball in right field picked up by Jankowski. His throw is not in time. And Johan Rojas goes first to third on the throwing error by Pete Fairbanks.
That was, I mean, John, he was hauling, man.
Sure was.
Fast.
We were thankful he was. We needed every bit of that speed on that play, too, because he barely got in.
Sure
there.
Did. So he ultimately scores on the sack fly to tie it up. Now, we also got to give a nod to JT here, because as he so often does, superb behind the plate, big defensive plays, including this one.
The runner goes. The pitch is taken for a strike. Throw to second, and he is out at second base. It's a strike him out, throw him out, double play as JT guns down Taylor Walls.
So, you know, you hear the emotion in Fransky's voice. It was a cool game. So, look, you got a tie game. You got extra innings. You got that ghost runner on second base. And with the first batter in the top of the 10th, let's listen to Fransky calls Brandon Marsh's hit.
Marsh swings and lines one to left center field. That's down for a base hit. Sosa will come home and score. Marsh headed for second. It's a leadoff double to start the 10th, and the Phillies have a 6-5 lead.
So always good to get that lead, but you still know the other team's going to have a dude on second, right? So they got a good shot to tie it up. But Trey had a hit that followed that scored Marsh. So ultimately, the Phillies take a two-run lead into the bottom of the 10th, and then it was Strom with some emotion from both Strom and Fransky. Strom closing it out.
And the 2-2 again. Swing and a miss. He got him. And the Phillies come back and beat the Rays in extra innings. And they complete the sweep. 7-6, the final, as Matt Strom gets the final out for the save. And the Phillies have swept the Rays here in Tampa.
That was a heck of a win. And John, where are you at big picture on the Phillies? What are we looking at with the fighting Phillies right now?
They are making that adjustment from last few years trying to figure out the right way to be, trying to time it up the right way for the postseason. I do feel like this is a team that's there's a lot of, as they felt, you know, some loose ends they needed to tie up just to be able to be their best version of themselves. They didn't talk heading into this season. It wasn't about, hey, here's what we're going to do. They knew they had the goods. They knew they had an opportunity here to make good on the last few years where they disappointed. And I think this is just, in their minds, a work in progress. They're shaping into a team that's going to be dominant. They're not there yet. They're very aware of this. But that's okay. They're okay with that, too. And where they sit right now as the young, as the daycare group becomes the, I don't know, what would you call them? The
middle school?
Out of the house. Like, the, I don't know.
Well, let's be fair. Only one of them, though, has played well this
year. Bryson Stott, one of three.
Bryson
Stott has flown the nest. Bryson Stott is now leading off, and he is spectacular.
John, he looks to me like an all-star.
Role.
Bryson Stott is playing. He might not make it and all that, but he's playing all-star-ish.
He's given us exactly what we need at the leadoff. Marsh last night gave us exactly what we needed. Marsh has the ability to give us a lot more than what he has, especially against lefties. And Alec Bohm, I don't even know what to make of that. He is at least conducting himself in a way that's, I don't know, not a distraction at this point. And last night, when it mattered, I felt really good about having Alec Bohm at the plate. You know, even though he's impetuous, even though he acts like a little kid, like truly daycare at times, right. This guy can hit the heck off, hit the cover off of every ball they throw to him. So I love that feeling. I love how good he has grown. I love the player he's become. We just need to get his head straight. This daycare could really become a force.
Here's where I'm at. I'm not ready to declare them great. I said that before the season. I think they will be great, I think, but I'm not going to say that they are yet. I'd certainly like to see them grab first place maybe before I make a claim like that, but I feel pretty confident they're going to make the playoffs. Now, let me be clear. Not like 100% confident. I mean, it's tough. There's four good teams in the West. There's three good teams in the NL East. You know, they're going to have to fight, whether it's to win the division or make a wild card spot, and that's good in a certain sense. There's challenges there. I think it makes this season fun, but I'll go here. They should make the playoffs. They have the kind of talent that they should make the playoffs, and I think they will. By the way, Devin, dare I say, I'm going to use the word, the V word. Dare I say vibes are back?
I thought we did away with that.
But they're back.
I thought we did away with it. Well,
they don't have to talk about it. The Hammer can talk about it. Vibes are back.
I'll say vibes are back, but it's a different vibe, and I think that's a good thing.
What is this vibe?
Well, it's not as, you know, goofy, we're going to dump water. Yeah, it's we're focused, we're locked in, and we are going to fight and claw our way back if we're down in a game, and we know who we are. We know our potential. We haven't played to our potential. We're still a winning ball club, though.
Well, so I'll say this. When you say all that, Rhea, one of the things that goes through my mind, and I don't want to go too far down the road because this could be talking out my hiney talk.
Well, that's generally
that
what happens.
Does happen. Yeah. But part of the defining element of 1980, for those on the younger side, part of what defined it was that the Phillies had lost in the playoffs in 76, 77, and 78.
I mean, it was painful.
And missed the playoffs in 79. So, you know, Rhea, was
by the time it got to 80, I was real young, you know, in 76, 77. But, you know, by the time you get to there, it's probably where my cynical nature comes around. By the time 80 comes around, I'm like, yeah, whatever. Right. Do this to me again.
And the big talk was they'll be broken up if they don't go win it all.
Correct.
And then they won it all.
And so. I just, in honor of Mother's Day, I watched that. I remember my dad was on a business trip, and it was just me and my mom watching it, and it was the coolest
thing
ever.
Game 6 versus the Royals?
It was the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. 215-592-9494. It's 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia as we broadcast this Friday morning from Borgata. Always love being at Borgata. Also coming up shortly, more of what Daryl Morey said in the interview with Spike on Spike's podcast. We'll get to that coming up shortly because there was a lot about Joel Embiid, and we'll play some of the notable stuff coming up in a moment.